The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he had sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your own town clings to our feet. Even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." At that very moment, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Turning to the disciples in private, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." As they continued their journey, he entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. This 10th chapter from the Gospel of Luke gets to the heart of the Christian life. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds, "What is in the law? How do you read it?" And the man says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "Do this, and you will live." Here we see the man summarizing the entirety of the Old Testament into just one verse. And Jesus approves. The whole of the Christian life is about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our being, all of our strength, and all of our mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. While that might appear simple and straightforward, we all know that it's actually fairly complex. And we're in good company in that regard too. Just look at the pericopes around the passage today. Seemingly, most notably, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan man, who would have had nothing to do with a Jewish man because they were separated in all things from each other, nor would he have had anything to do with a man who was bloody because he would make him unclean. Yet this man goes out of his way to tend the sick Jewish man. Christ is clear that our neighbor extends beyond the normal conventions of society, and that loving our neighbor implies that we will supply for their needs. Going even deeper than this, though, is the sending out of the 72 disciples, because this reveals that loving our neighbor doesn't stop at just providing for their physical needs. Rather, the deepest way that we can love our neighbor is by offering them Jesus and his gospel. For when we come and offer Christ's peace to another's household, when we offer them the gospel free of charge, when we offer them not ourselves but Jesus Christ, it's then that Satan will fall like lightning from their lives as we love them in the most supreme way. Because we will be offering them not just what is good for this life, but more importantly, what is good for eternal life, and will lead to their names being written in heaven. With all this in mind, it's important to remember, though, that love of neighbor is meaningless without the love of God. And this is what Martha and Mary show us. For in this interaction, Martha is caring for Jesus' physical needs. She's loving her neighbor, but she's forgetting about loving God above all things. You see, she is anxious and worried about many things because she hasn't sought what her sister Mary did, to listen to Christ speak. Had Martha opened her ears to hear Christ's words, then her heart would have found peace, even in the midst of all of the practical things that she was doing. Serving the physical needs of our neighbor, even serving their deeper spiritual needs, are good things. But they can be like a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal if they are not first founded on loving God above all things. And when we grow in this sort of love, a love of God that leads to a love of neighbor, it's then that Jesus' prayer can become our own. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. When we are filled with a fullness of charity in this life, we can be united to the Lord our God, not just on earth, but also in heaven. And there we too can praise him for all eternity. Lord Jesus, you teach us what true discipleship looks like and reveal that loving you above everything else and loving our neighbor as ourselves, that is the heart of discipleship. And so we come to adore you, present before us in this most blessed sacrament, and we praise you, Lord of heaven and earth. Help us to live in your charity so that our minds and hearts can be transformed to both know your will and to carry it out in all things, so that one day, having truly become wise and learned, we may rest forever in your peace, in your eternal home in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.